Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
And good afternoon, America in the lower 48. Welcome to Spouting Off. You're tuned to BBS Radio Station 1. And yes, indeed, this is Karen Cataline putting the Judeo in Judeo-Christian. It's Tuesday, March 13th, 2018. So if you're listening live, that's what day and time it is right now. 2 p.m. Mountain, 4 p.m. Eastern time, but the great thing about these live podcasts is that they go all the way around the world. They go everywhere once I'm done recording. So if you're listening live, I invite you to call in. We have lots to get to. And if not, you'll be able to listen and maybe listen to one of the live shows when they come on Tuesdays. At least that's our broadcast time as we speak. So as mentioned, lots going on, and I'm going to try to touch on every week. I do it a little bit differently, depending on what kind of material is out there, depending on what sort of mood I'm in. And this week, there's just a lot going on that I'd like to touch on and make some comments about. I used to call it, and I still can, little bites of big issues. And there are very few small issues. Most of them are big issues. So we're going to start with the election in Pittsburgh today, because indeed it is March 13th and today is election day. So voters in Western Pennsylvania in the 18th congressional district head to the polls and they are voting as we speak. And they're calling this a hotly contested special House election. Republicans have spent nearly $10 million to save their seat, and it's not going to exist in its current form by November. The first day of campaigning Monday before votes are cast in Western Pennsylvania, it's a closely watched race, and it's a race between, and you probably know this now if you were watching the Donald Trump rally in Pittsburgh that happened just a couple days ago in order to rally the troops and the votes for Rick Saccone. Some people call it Saccone, but I think he pronounced it American-wise Rick Saccone, and he's running against 33-year-old Connor Lamb. Now, I don't know the sexual scandal that caused the previous occupant to step down. As you know, if you've listened to me for any length of time, you know that I am extremely opinionated about the Me Too and the Time's Up movements. I think they're not only overly collective, but they have an extremely negative downside, which I think is intended. I don't think it's unintentional. You know, the people that talk about unintentional, or they call it unintended consequences. I'm pretty cynical, and I don't think there are a lot of unintended consequences. I think that the quite intended consequence of this nationwide movement, and it's happening all over this country from sea to shining sea, is a demeaning of men, particularly white men, particularly conservative men, particularly Christian men, or any man who dares to disagree with progressivism. And this attack has been going on for a long time. And that's not even what I was going to talk about. So that is an ongoing rant of mine, because I think that the attack on men is what is underpinning a lot of this broad, overly broad generalization. I just have to say this. The left has such a pattern. In fact, that's how I teased this show this week, is patterns, patterns, patterns. It's amazing if you just keep watching the pattern of their strategy, or as Bush would say, not my favorite president, strategery, you will see that they use the same tactics over and over and over again. In the last several years of the Obama administration, it was attacks on police, on law enforcement officers. Before that, it was an attack on the military, until they succeeded in making some military think that they are victims, you know, that everybody who's been in the military is a victim of PTSD. Now, PTSD is and can be a very real affliction, but to the left, everybody who's been in the military has PTSD. So this year, it's the year of the woman victim. And I think it is deadly dangerous. And I spoke about it a little bit next week. Chances are I'll be speaking about it again next week. So this election, I can predict to you, because I mentioned patterns, right? You've seen the pattern. You got to keep looking for the patterns, because it'll make you the smartest person in the room when you look at those patterns and you say, I know exactly what's going to happen. Now, and, you know, I mean, tongue placed mostly in cheek. Yeah, I know exactly what's going to happen. If the Republican wins this election tonight and you watch the election returns as they come in, then it won't be that important. If the Democrat wins, it will be a referendum on Trump. You just watch. Right now, it's a very, very tight race because the Democrat is trying to act like a moderate. He's trying to say that, oh, he could work with Donald Trump. And he's doing it with a winky winky, because everybody knows he'll vote with the Democrats if he gets in there. That's why Donald Trump decided to go out there to Pittsburgh while he was touting some very, very, very happy coal miners and steel workers. So that was a brilliant thing to do. And hopefully we'll get to a little bit of sound from Donald Trump a little later. So that's something to watch out for. Another thing to watch out for, we're going to just move right along here, is that tomorrow, March 14th, 2,500 school walkouts supporting our plan, supporting gun control, and that's planned for Wednesday. Now, this is not an accident that everybody, every media outlet from ABC to USA Today, they always do everything they can to help their people, their horses, their show horses, that is the high school kids that are being used as pawns. They do everything they can to give them as much free media as it's possible. This is another pattern. You'll watch it again and again and again. Under the guise of presenting news, they're actually giving them free publicity. Because used to be that when there was a protest, the media didn't report it until after the fact. And they always reported positively on Democrats who were protesting. If you were a Republican protesting Obama, you got no media attention. But if you're a Democrat and there's three Democrats protesting guns or Trump or whatever, that's the story. I've watched them do it 100 times. This time, they're giving lots of advance publicity to the high school walkouts. I think it's absurd. I think that it is phenomenally transparent. But here you have a high school kid who's become the media darling. You've probably seen him. Now, keep in mind that Trump has taken the lead on a bunch of gun legislation, and I would call it knee-jerk gun legislation. And yet this David Hogg is a very photogenic son of an FBI guy, wondering how he ends up on everybody's radar. First he's in California, then he's in Los Angeles. Who knows what the real story of this David Hogg is, but the one thing I can tell you is he's brilliant at spouting off. Ooh, there's a term. He's brilliant at spouting off every left-wing soundbite, every talking point there is on guns, regardless of the facts. So, Doug, if you would, please, let's hear soundbite number two as CNN interviews David Hogg.
That said, as you guys both know, the NRA is suing Florida because of this. The NRA doesn't believe that 18-year-olds shouldn't be able to buy firearms. They say that that is their constitutional right. So let me read to you the NRA statement. Preventing a responsible 20-year-old from purchasing the best tool for self-defense will not stop a deranged criminal intent on committing a crime. Imposing a 3-day waiting period on rifle and shotgun purchases would not have stopped any of the high-profile mass shootings in recent years. What's your response, David?
My response to that is Nick Cruz was 19 and legally bought his assault rifle. It's offensive that they would say that because this would have stopped him because he would legally not have been able to get this gun, but he was able to. And it's part of the reason why we had this massacre occur at our school. And I know what the NRA likes to do, the people at the top of the NRA like to do, is they like to hide behind the Second Amendment and say that this is our constitutional right, we're Americans. And what they're really trying to do is say, let us sell you more guns at an even younger age, put more people at risk, scare more people, cause more violence, kill more people, and sell more guns.
Amazing. I took a few notes. I've heard this several times before. And not only does he spout off every left-wing talking point, but then the left has the audacity to say that we have no right to take him to task for his absurdity. The left never saw an entity that they couldn't demonize. Remember not that many years ago when the left was calling for tolerance and love and diversity? You got to keep pointing out that they are the least tolerant, the least interested in diversity, and the least willing to hear a point of view with which they disagree. Case in point, demonize the gun. If you demonize the gun enough, if you make the gun an inanimate object, truly, truly evil itself, well, then anybody who dares to buy a gun is by extension also evil. Now, it's interesting how much they pick and choose about the things that they believe the law can handle and what the law can't handle. You may have heard a little while ago or a couple weeks ago in Colorado, they were pushing this thing where they wanted to have, it's just, I have to laugh every time I hear it. They were pushing something where they call them shoot-up shacks or shooting shacks, where people who are addicted to IV drugs are the left has a whole organization dedicated to the idea that they're going to make drug use safer by giving a safe place where police won't arrest drug dealers, even though the law is very clear. The use and possession of heroin, cocaine, and crack and all that is patently illegal. But the left just wants to make sure that, these drug dealers can do it safely, because after all, the law is not going to stop them from doing these drugs. But yet the law can stop people from obtaining a gun, particularly hardcore criminals and MS-13 members, if they want to obtain a gun. Now, this is all very disingenuous, because the people that are using David Hogg as their spokesperson, very cynical, because they're just using him. They don't really care about him at all. Their position is that since criminals will get these guns, what we have to do is just get rid of the guns themselves, and then bad people won't get them. That's nonsense, because it's nonsense. And unfortunately, an impressionable young mind, son of an FBI, former FBI member, thinks that that makes total sense, that all we have to do is we're smarter than all you guys, and we're just going to take away those evil guns because there really is no difference. This is what I'm getting to here. There really is no difference between the fire and the fire brigade, right? We're not going to draw a distinction between bad guys who murder innocent people and good guys who try to stop them. Now, that's the cliche you've heard from the NRA, you know, a good guy with a gun can stop a bad guy with a gun. But I think the NRA is a little bit off base slightly because they're dealing with an opponent that sees no difference between the criminal and the law-abiding citizen. As a matter of fact, they seem to have more sympathy for a criminal than for the victim. And we've seen that as a pattern over and over and over again. They turn criminals into victims, and they turn law-abiding citizens, what? Into criminals. That's what they do. The real target here is law-abiding citizens. I don't think it's a big stretch to say that this is for the benefit of a political agenda rather than for the benefit of you and me. It isn't for the benefit of you and me. If they thought anything about the benefit of you and me, they would respect us enough to know that we have a right to defend our lives and our families. But that's not how they think. So that's the high school walkout tomorrow. Watch carefully, and I will be, about exactly what kind of pre-walkout publicity they're going to get. In fact, the big media like ABC and CNN and USA Today, they're covering the walkout before it happens more than after. Why? Because they want to be able to report that there were thousands and thousands of kids walking out of school. I just have to tell you that in Colorado, again, the last time that there was a walkout in school, and believe it or not, I can't even remember what it was. It was against police violence. A very, very tragic situation happened because kids walked out of school very impulsively and with the tacit acceptance of left-wing teachers and other adults, and a police officer on a bicycle was almost killed. He was in the hospital for many, many weeks. His name was Officer Adsit. Very, very brave man who, it turned out, almost was killed. He had many bones broken. He was near death. This was a horrible tragedy. And yet he was there to protect the very protesters who were hating cops. And what happened? He almost got killed. So now you have the media colluding. Oh, there's a word for you. Colluding with the left, if not being the left, encouraging high school students and middle school to walk right out of school in order to do their bidding. I think this is unconscionable. And yet they keep on doing the unconscionable while they dictate to the rest of us how unconscionable Donald Trump is. Can you believe that? That's what they do. That's what they do. Now, one more issue before we get to our first break. I don't have a lot to say about this because, well, either I could do another 2-hour monologue about it or I'll just mention it because it is happening now as of March 13th. Yesterday, the Republicans said there was no evidence of collusion. Of course, the Democrats don't really care. They also don't care about any evidence pointing to Hillary. Now, one of the things I'll be watching is that the Republicans are saying that there was no collusion with the Russians on either campaign. That doesn't mean that there wasn't payoffs going on with the Russians before the campaign. And it is so blatantly screaming out at you that Mueller and his team of leftists can only see one side of this story. They only are interested in smearing Trump. They, if everything is slapping them in the face from the other side. They don't see any of it. They cannot see any of it because that's not what they're there for. They're there to get Trump. That's what they're there for. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Hillary, who keeps falling down on her. She doesn't have a job, but she keeps falling down, and she keeps falling down verbally too. So we'll hear a little sound. And if you'd like to join us before our break, you can call me live at toll free 888-627-6008, or you can call direct 323-744-4831. Would love to hear from you on this or whatever is on your mind. And this is Spouting Off, and you're listening to Karen Cataline here on BBS Radio, Station 1. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I'm Elaine, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is Hillsdale College President Larry Arnn on the importance of the presidential oath of office.
Members of Congress and federal judges take an oath to the Constitution, but the Constitution prescribes the exact words of the oath only for the president. The American presidency was a new and powerful office created at the Constitutional Convention of 1787. Nothing like it existed in any other constitution in history. It was designed to allow certain virtues, decision, activity, secrecy, dispatch, things like that. And they were thought to be essential to executive power, especially in a crisis. But despite this immense power, the president is not so powerful as the Constitution itself. That is why presidents must pledge to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution, and why it is the duty of the people to ensure that they do so.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To join the national conversation on the Constitution, go to constitutionminute.com.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
And we're back. You're listening to Spouting Off here with Karen Kathleen. And believe it or not, this is our 24th show. So maybe we'll have a little anniversary or a little party for our 25th show, because that's pretty cool. We started this in September, and it has been a labor of love for me. And I hope that it's something you've been enjoying as well. If not, I'm open to your feedback. So that gives me a perfect segue to ask you if you would like to contact me. You can do so at my website at www.karencataline.com. If you know how to spell my name, you'll know how to find me. It's just Karen the normal way, K-A-R-E-N, K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E is my last name, and KarenCataline.com, at Karen Cataline, Facebook, and Twitter, same thing, slash Karen Kettling. Twitter is a weird, weird thing. But we're not going to talk about that right now. We're going to get right back to our list of, oh boy, do we have a laundry list of issues on which I have thoughts and opinions, and you may as well. You can call me toll-free at 888-627-6008. Just call that number. You know, I don't need to give you the other one. Take that one. That's good. All right. So some of you may, I obviously cannot show you a video of Hillary falling down in India twice. Not only is she falling down a lot, and we don't know why, even though same media put a stethoscope up Donald Trump's rump, trying to determine every inch of his physical, mental, and every other sort of health, Hillary gets a complete and total pass. But here's what she said in a foreign country. It sounds a little familiar, but she's still at it. Hillary is still at it. I think she's pathological. But Doug, go ahead and play soundbite number one, if you would, please.
If you look at the map of the United States, there's all that red in the middle where Trump won. I win the coasts, I win, you know, Illinois and Minnesota, places like that. But what the map doesn't show you is that I won the places that represent two-thirds of America's gross domestic product. So I won the places that are optimistic, diverse, dynamic, moving forward. And his whole campaign, Make America Great Again, was looking backwards. You know, you didn't like black people getting rights. You don't like women, you know, getting jobs. You don't want to, you know, see that Indian American succeeding more than you are. Whatever your problem is, I'm going to solve it.
Wow. So I guess we're back in the deplorable range again. There's Hillary putting down anybody who didn't vote for her. Do you really think she's that tone deaf and that blind? Actually, I kind of think she is. I think that she's lived in such a bubble, has had so many yes men for so long, and women, that she's totally detached from reality about how she comes off to other people, the elitism with which she comes off, and the pure projection that Trump is not forward-thinking, but she is. This is a woman who's been saying the same thing for 25 years, has been caught in lie after lie after lie, scandal after scandal after scandal, and she just can't accept that she's been found out by the great majority of the American public, and yet still she is not held accountable. I think there is a great rage in this country, wondering if Hillary is ever going to get her due. Is it only going to be that she falls down in India and embarrasses herself on a regular basis? Or is she really going to be held accountable for her felonies? She has committed felonies. I'm okay with putting her on trial, but I'm really not okay with her being, as Sean Hannity would say, we have to give credit where credit is due, the two-tier justice system where Hillary gets away with everything, but everybody else doesn't get away with a darn thing. I applaud Donald Trump for immediately, as you know, much earlier than normal, pardoning Christian Saucier, who took a few pictures, not knowing what he was doing, while Hillary got away with destroying 33,000 emails. And we can only guess, and I can guess, some of the reason why it was so important to get rid of those emails, because they were evidence of the dirty dealing that she was doing. Do I know that for a fact? No. But gee, look at the patterns. I guess that's my theme for today. Patterns, patterns, patterns. So that's our friend Hillary. Far as I'm concerned, until she does wear a yellow jumpsuit, and I hate to tell you, I don't think she ever will. I just don't. I just don't think so. Until that time, I hope she still is out there. I really do, because she's helping us so much. There were people that really couldn't stand Donald Trump and like him a whole lot better now that they're getting more dollars in their paycheck, but they couldn't bear to vote for this woman. They knew exactly who she was. She's exposed herself again and again and again in lie after lie after lie. So, you know, I think it's quite clear that she's a horrible candidate. She seems to be a horrible human being. And what chutzpah, you know what that is, right? Gall. To claim to be the champion of women while demonizing her husband's women. Just unbelievable. Everybody knows she was on the Bimbo Patrol. She was threatening women. I mean, she's no friend of women. And this whole identity politics thing, we're going to just have to, like I said, table that for another day. All right, next issue. Let's move on. Owners of the Hasta Muerte, that means to the death, coffee house in Oakland, decided to ask an Oakland police officer who happened to be Hispanic, they don't care, to leave their establishment because they have a policy of asking cops to leave. Are you ready? Are you sitting down? For the physical and emotional safety of customers. Really? If you're a cop in Oakland, don't bother going to Hasta Muerte Coffee because the worker-owned coffee shop and self-defending, self-proclaimed radical bookstore refused service to a uniformed police officer. Now, that is amazing. I have here some of what they say. They say that they asked the police officer to leave for the physical and emotional safety of their customers because the mere presence of a police officer is so upsetting to their customers that they must ask him to leave. This is an example of the upside down thinking that we're dealing with that has come from the left, the indoctrination that the fire brigade are the bad guys and the illegal aliens are the victims. You got that? Right? Because they say, they went on to accuse the police department of having a history of corruption, mismanagement, and scandal, along with a legacy of blatant repression. I know they want to repress all those criminals from committing crimes against law-abiding citizens. For shame, police. You should never repress criminals because, after all, they have rights too. They have rights to your stuff. They have rights to hurt you. You know, this is the upside down thinking that we're talking about. And then they came out with this thing on social media that they themselves have been victimized, of course, because people didn't like what they said. You see a pattern here? Now, I'm not done with Oakland, California, because while this is going on, we get to see what Oakland, California is really all about. Because what happens? There is an Oakland mayor, which Donald Trump already commented what a disgrace she was. Why? I know some of you are out there going, we know, I know. Ooh, can I tell him? Can I tell him? Well, you can either call me or I'll tell you. The Oakland mayor warned illegal aliens of potential raids by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, that's known as ICE to you and me, in Northern California. They may have caused some criminal illegal aliens to evade deportation. No, that's not may have. They did. All those illegal aliens, there was going to be a raid, and instead of getting thousands, they got just a few. And of course, a mayor who has taken an oath to uphold the law is helping the lawbreakers, because the left only believes in laws that they agree with. They only abide by those laws that they agree with. And if there are laws they don't agree with, like immigration law, they're going to call you a racist for daring to even uphold those laws. Now, think about that in terms of guns. Now, the left, they can avoid, ignore, completely, blatantly ignore the laws they don't like immigration law. But they feel absolutely certain that a law on law-abiding citizens who want to defend themselves and their families from a government and a cities gone wild, like, say, oh, I don't know, Chicago, Detroit, Baltimore, those people have to abide by the law. In fact, they're going to take a stethoscope up your butt. That's the second time I've said that today. To examine you, make you go through all kinds of identification and check you out to within an inch of your life. Never mind. They think it's racist. You can't keep up with this stuff. But it's important to point out how utterly hypocritical and how utterly ridiculous, if you have a logical brain, to follow this stuff. So they have succeeded in many quarters in leading people to believe that asking you for your identification in order to vote is racist. Now, the Republicans are never going to say that being asked for their identification, for their medical records, for their mental health records, which, of course, 98% of the mental health profession are leftists who believe that you're crazy if you even own a gun. That is not racist. Okay, it's not racist. No. If you ask people for every kind of identification, but if you ask an illegal for their papers, doesn't matter what country they're from. By the way, Mexico is not a race. Mexicans are not a race. They're a country. So that's racist. You're not allowed to do that. So what they're basically doing is creating a whole new morality and an alternative law that if you are a knee-jerk leftist, you must agree to. There is an alternative law that basically says, here's what we believe in, here's what we don't. We don't care that we have three branches of government. We don't care that we have a Congress that have been duly elected by people all over the country who make laws, and the House, which actually funds budgets. We don't believe in any of that. We're just going to pick and choose which laws we like and which laws we don't. And that includes shutting down the free speech of Americans. So, you know, what you can conclude is that, among many other things, that there are patterns here, and we got to pay attention to the patterns. The Oakland mayor, who very proudly did what's basically treasonous, she was working against law enforcement and at the behest of illegals who would put law-abiding citizens in danger. Why do you think that the coffee shop thinks cops are the bad guys? Because of mayors like this Oakland mayor, whose name I've conveniently forgotten. Okay. So there you have it on Oakland, California, a wonderful place to visit. I was there not very long ago, and after I saw Nancy Pelosi Boulevard, I was happy to leave. One more point on illegal immigration. Out of Denver, this story did make it to national news. Terrible, terrible story. Yvonne Zamaripa Castaneda, an illegal alien, fled the scene of an accident on Interstate 70 involving a tractor trailer that caught on fire last week, leaving the driver to die. This was before the police got there. And what did the Denver County Sheriff's Office do? Because that's a sanctuary city. They posted a $25,000 bond on Saturday, and he was released a few hours later. The law enforcement agent said, although the department alerted ICE in response to a request for release notification it received, that alert did not occur until 6:33 p.m. When was he released? 5:28 p.m. There's another side story to this, which is that in Denver, police officers have actually been threatened with their job or with penalties for actually cooperating with ICE. That, too, is a blatant subversion of our laws, and yet the left has no problem with that. They're appalled, mind you, appalled that we don't have enough laws on guns because they don't like guns in the hands of law-abiding, freedom-loving citizens. They don't like that. But they're really okay with subverting the laws they don't like. I must repeat. You see a pattern here at all? Okay. So that's that story. And that story has gone national. That story is Fox News. Tucker Carlson has covered it. Whole bunches of folks have covered it because it's endemic of the problem. The problem that the left has tried to make it trendy to disavow laws they don't like. They just don't like it. We've got yet another. It just keeps going. We have yet another leftist hypocrisy before we take one more break. In fact, we have to leave room. Maybe we need to do that now. Do we need to do that now, Doug? We have to play our feature. We have a wonderful feature by Dr. Martina Cartwright. And let's go ahead and do that now so that I will have enough time to cover these last couple of issues. So without further ado, this is A Moment of Reason with Dr. Martina Cartwright.
Hello, America. This is Dr. Martina Cartwright bringing you A Moment of Reason. According to the Centers for Disease Control, more than one-third of American adults are obese. A government agency doesn't need to tell us this. Look around. People are overweight. Overweight and obesity are caused by a number of things, including genetics, age, diseases like arthritis that make it tough to move around, and of course, overeating and a lack of exercise. There is no doubt that obesity is having an effect on our society, increasing health care costs and the cost to businesses that must make accommodations for the very overweight. Even U.S. military readiness is affected, with nearly 1 in 4 military applicants rejected due to their body size. Many do-gooders have tried to address obesity through legislation. So can obesity be regulated out of existence? The war on sugar is the latest example of trying to legislate personal choice. In New York City, Mayor Bloomberg pushed a soda ban intended to prohibit the sale of sugar-sweetened drinks over 16 ounces. But the state's highest court showed common sense when it rejected the initiative in 2014, stating the ban exceeded the scale of regulatory authority. But did this stop the anti-sugar crusaders? Of course not. Soda taxes are alive and well in Seattle, San Francisco, Berkeley, Oakland, and Philadelphia, but they fizzled out in Chicago. Much of the published research on the topic shows that while soda taxes may decrease sugary beverage drinking, the consumer will simply choose non-taxable sweets to satisfy their sweet tooth. There has been no effect on obesity. Further, consider the ultimate regulatory overreach of Obamacare. Buried within the Obamacare mandate was a policy to require restaurants and other food outlets with 20 or more locations to post calorie counts. Compliance with this rule was supposed to begin last May, but thanks to the Trump administration, the implementation was delayed to May 2018. As a result, the Center for Science in the Public Interest sued the FDA, arguing the delays weren't legal. This isn't surprising at all, considering the Center for Science in the Public Interest is a left-leaning nonprofit committed to food regulation and food bans, and whose edicts are often the target of scientific criticism. Nevertheless, starting in May 2018, grocery stores, movie theaters, amusement parks, vending machines, and restaurants will have to show how many calories are in their sandwiches, entrees, popcorn, cocktails, beverages, and French fries. The mandate is a real hardship to pizza establishments because there are so many pizza combos that it's nearly impossible to post accurate calorie counts. Studies show that calorie labeling has little impact on people's food choices. The already calorie-conscious consumer pays attention to food labeling, but those who don't simply won't. But that's not the real point here. The real point of such legislation is to regulate the food industry, forcing them to reformulate products to reduce calories and change consumer behaviors. But isn't this, in fact, government overreach again? Free markets dictate free choices, even if the choices are less healthy. Soda taxes, banning sugar, Michelle Obama's school lunch program, and other overreaching programs do little to change behaviors. Some may argue that anti-smoking campaigns and tobacco taxes have curbed smoking behaviors, when in fact, this has largely been education regarding the harmfulness of tobacco smoking and its relationship with cancer. This is what's quelled tobacco smoking. As a registered dietitian with over 20 years of experience in counseling those who wish to lose weight, it is education, not regulation, that is the key for those who are motivated to lose a few pounds, either for health reasons or appearance. The government and others need to stay out of the consumer's kitchen. This has been A Moment of Reason with Dr. Martina Cartwright, your common sense professor. Now back to Spouting Off.
Well, there you have it, Dr. Martina Cartwright. She's actually speaking about something that we collaborated on. I was going to say colluded on. We collaborated together on my book, which is called Fatlash, Food Police, and the Fear of Thin. So you can imagine that I do agree with her on the attempt of government to regulate what and how people eat, especially if you are as rebellious as I am by nature, then I'm going to do the exact opposite of what you try to regulate, at least in terms of food. But that's a whole nother issue. I'm going to take a producer-director decision here and skip right over Louis Farrakhan. Aren't you glad? I don't want to talk about Louis Farrakhan. It's on my list. All I can tell you about him is that it is the classic – I could sit and analyze it, but it's the classic hypocrisy. Okay, I am talking about it just a little. Louis Farrakhan, the left can't find him. The left is justifying the many Democrats who have been seen at his rallies, pure, unadulterated Jew hatred, long history of Jew hatred. And it is not an accident that the same left that calls everybody law-abiding citizens, everyday people, you and me, simply for daring to disagree, we're all racist. There hasn't been a Republican president that hasn't been called a racist in I don't know how long. They're all racist. So when you talk and you call Trump a racist, like, you know, what else is new? It's absurd and ridiculous. Anybody who believes upholding our immigration law, they're a racist. Anybody who holds Obama accountable for his many outrageous policies, they're a racist. Louis Farrakhan, they can't see his racism. You know, if it weren't so sad, it would be entertaining. But that's all I'm going to say about that, because I want to get to, I had a soundbite of the mayor that we were just talking about, the Oakland mayor. And I figure, since it's my show, let's go ahead and play it, Doug. Cut number three, let's hear the Oakland mayor alerting illegal immigrants that ICE is coming to get them.
Yesterday, I learned information from multiple sources that there is potentially an ICE activity planned in the Bay Area that could be starting as soon as today. My priority is to keep this community safe. It is not my wish to panic people, but to ensure that they're prepared with information, that they know their rights as well as their responsibilities, and know about the resources that this community offers. We will continue to dispel the ugly myth that many are perpetuating about our immigrant community. Spreading rumors of ICE activities has been used as a tactic to strike fear and paralysis in the immigrant communities. This is something that I thought about very carefully before bringing this information forward. But due to the reliability of my sources and the fact that I received this from multiple sources, I felt that it was my duty to share the information.
Just feel myself getting angrier and angrier and angrier. This is the world we are living in, folks. This is it. She feels an obligation to keep the community safe. Which community is she talking about? Is she talking about a community of illegal aliens who broke our laws to come to this country in California? Is that who she is talking about? Or is she talking about law-abiding citizens who don't want to get murdered like Kate Steinle? Is that who she's talking about? So this is a woman, and this makes the case as to why there's a coffee shop in Oakland, as a matter of fact, that is branding police officers who put their lives on the line in order to protect you and me as the bad guys. They're the bad guys, right? They're the guys that we all need to worry about because they strike fear in the hearts of illegal aliens who broke our laws. This is the kind of upside down thinking that we've got here. And we've got to stand up. I've got only a couple more minutes, but I do have time to play one more soundbite, but I'm going to set it up first, okay? Because it has everything to do with all of the issues that we've been talking about today. And I'm happy to see that they all kind of somehow come together, at least if a little bit. So Donald Trump was in Pittsburgh giving a speech, a rally, and he has a lot to cheer about. He has a lot to tout. He has been phenomenally successful. We've been told for decades that you just can't get stuff done in Washington because, oh my, you know, it's just so different than the private sector. Well, here we got a guy who was trained, who was, for the lack of a better term, made his bones in the private sector and has proven that in fact it is the private sector with real competition that teaches you how to win and even teaches you how to lose. We've got an outsider who came to Washington to shake things up, and indeed he has. And the left is gone crazy about it. And I predict that the more and more and more successes that Donald Trump has, and he's having quite a few in a very short time, in a very short learning curve. The top job probably in the entire world. He took it on with a level of confidence and a level of skills I've never seen. And I must point this out because it just has never been done. If this guy had been a Democrat and has accomplished what he's accomplished, which of course he would have accomplished in the opposite degree, the left would have made him a god by now. We're not conservatives. We don't believe in gods of men, at least not our politicians. And so we don't do that sort of thing. But I just love this soundbite. We have just enough time to play it for you. I loved it. Maybe I'll continue next week and we'll start with it, but we're going to play this. And it is Donald Trump imitating what it would be like to be presidential. Go ahead, go.
I'm very presidential. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here tonight. Rick Saccone will be a great, great congressman. He will help me very much. He's a fine man, and Yang is a wonderful wife. I just want to tell you on behalf of the United States of America that we appreciate your service. We appreciate your service. And to all of the military out there, we respect you very much. Thank you. Thank you. And then you go, God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Thank you very much. See, that's easy. That's much easier than doing what I have to do. But this is much more effective. Don't forget, this got us elected. If I came like a stiff, you guys wouldn't be here tonight. So I'm reading Peggy Noonan, and she's a nice woman. I like her. She doesn't like me much, and she's writing like I'm some kind of a Neanderthal. And I'm saying, you know, I'm really smart. You know, it's funny. They always talk about how they're telling us. They said we couldn't get elected. I say we.
He is giving a blueprint to the left as to why he won and how he won. And they're too dumb to realize it, that he is so honest. He can afford to be honest about what he's been doing. They can't see it. The establishment Republicans can't see it because it exposes them. I've been saying this for months and months and months. He has a talent for exposing the phony. And even when he makes a mistake, the magic of Trump is that he's a real guy. And he isn't afraid to be real. That's why this stupid prostitution thing, in which the left is suddenly the Puritans that they never were before, the level of hypocrisy is beyond all reason. So I say, break out the popcorn, and we're going to keep having fun pointing it out and exposing it along with everyone else. If you'd like to get a hold of me, www.karenkataline.com. I'm having a blast. I hope you are too. Thank you to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio, and to HW, the multi-talented guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when we'll have lots more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.